Welcome to yet another Burning Platform on this beautiful Thursday morning in spring in South Africa under the auspices of the Government of National Unity, whether you think that's a good thing or you don't.
The auspices.
Hello, boom. There is.
Hey. Brilliant.
An amazing Pumi Mashiko. How are you, Pums?
Good morning.
Are you ready for today?
I'm excited for today, actually. I have so many things I want to chat about, and I'm excited about our friend who's joining us.
Yes, somebody who's no stranger to the show. Will introduce you to him again in just a moment or two. But first and foremost, how is your life under the GNU? Is it exactly the same as your life under the ANC before?
Yeah, if not, like... even more disappointing. But look, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of busyness. You know, that's pity pity. There's a lot of pity pity in the GNU. So that
pity.
And I never know this pity pity. Is it to distract us all from the lack of working?
Well.
Or to keep us all entertained? No. But listen, petrol is cheaper today than it was.
Yeah, but that's not the Government of National Unity's fault, nor is it their success. So we're not going to give them that. But I did, after our discussion with the Minister of Sport, Arts and Culture last week, I got lots of interesting feedback from the people who listen to the show who, you know, these are our bosses. These are people we do the show for. And I think by and large, you know, people feel like there's an energy around people like Gayton that makes a massive difference. And yesterday I saw him again, because he is the minister who commands the most attention by a long way. I saw him and the new Minister of Basic Education, Siviwe Hwarube, who got together. And the two of them were talking about sport at school, which could be a very interesting thing to get into at some point. I think we should try and get her as a guest one morning. I think she'd be fascinating. And I saw that Silili has just got back from China, where he has been supposedly working on all kinds of trade deals for us and other things. But we'll see. I mean,
so that is one of my ultimate bugbears about these summits, where you have the entire continent of Africa represented by all sorts of very... And Cyril took quite a big... contingent, right? So he took John Steenhuisen, agriculture. He took, obviously, Kumbuzo, who's the minister in his office. He took Hosi Nsura Mokgopa. He took a big contingent. I think he took like five ministers with him, with him. Mamuloko Kubai was out there. But you know what was happening in China is actually, even though it is our seventh administration's first international kind of trip, it was actually an Africa-China summit. Irritates me endlessly that China, Switzerland, France, America, these countries have a summit and they don't have a South Africa-China summit. They have an Africa. So 54 countries showing up with their like heads in hand, begging with all these international governments. And then they're there, and then they're complaining about tariffs. And in the meanwhile, basically what they're doing is they are agreeing and signing MOUs and mandates and agreeing to literally put chunks of our country on boats off to China, instead of having agreements that are mutually beneficial. The agreements tend to be far more beneficial for the other country than they are for us.
We can only hope. I just don't see us arguing from the stronger position. That's the only problem. It's like I'm almost convinced that whatever happens there, it's going to be, you guys take the scraps from our table and just be grateful for that, you know? Anyway. We will have to see, because that's just one of the things that we're going to discuss this morning. I started off by mentioning the GNU because our guest this morning has written a couple of articles about the GNU. He's also got some interesting things to say, both from the inside and the outside of the political world. And currently he's outside of our world, but he's very much welcome again on the show. He is none other than Solly Moeng, who is a South African political speaker and outspoken commentator on politics, a columnist, a communication and brand strategist, and a welcome guest again on the Burning Platform. Solly Moeng, how are you?
Hello, 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 Pumi. Hello, hello, Okara. Always such a lovely thing to see you. I'm happy to be here. It's been a while.
Yes,
it has been a while.
And I, changed.
And I think, and a bit of an, I owe you a bit of an explanation, because the last time I came onto your platform, I think you asked me if I'd ever go into politics. I said never.
Yeah.
I let me put it out there before you put it out there first.
Come on, that's only preemptive strike. When we were getting ready for the show today, I asked the question, and I said, do you think Solly is coming in his capacity as MP hopeful for Action SA, or is he coming in his capacity as a fabulous communication strategist? So explain yourself, young man.
Yeah. I've always been an outspoken person against corruption and other abuses. I'm known for that. I've always never taken a party line. And I've always tried to mobilize civil society to be more active, to be more informed about what's going on in South Africa, to be an active procreator of the kind of country that we want. But then going into elections was like, if you can't do that by placarding on the sides of the street, by making noise, writing articles, appearing on TV. I said, let me join hands with a political party that I'm kind of comfortable to join hands with, which is what I did. But and and it was a project, in the journey of me, of my life, as it were. So I joined up with him in Mashaba and Action SA because I was happy with their stance against the ANC, which in my view continues to be at the center of the mess that South Africa is in. I didn't know that you can't have your cake and eat it right now. Suddenly, said people say to me as a politician, that hurts me a bit. But then I don't really like to be called. And I wasn't, to be honest, I never wanted to go. It was never my aim to end up as a politician in parliament. But of course, when it didn't happen, I was slightly disappointed because I thought, maybe I should, we can't keep doing the things the same way over and over again and expect different outcomes. So I thought, instead of writing articles, shouting from the sides of the streets, let me go into parliament. But then it didn't happen. Obviously, Action SA didn't get the numbers that it had hoped to get. So I didn't go to parliament. And I was slightly disappointed. So I thought, okay, let me come back here outside of South Africa to lick my wounds again, to look back. And I'm going to say one more thing. Look, it's a victory for me. The victory for me, it really is victory. And people don't seem to get this. The fact that we are not governed by one political party anymore is a victory. We are at the beginning of a new journey as a country. We need to take this carefully. We need to make sure we don't go back. We cannot afford, we should never allow a situation again to have all the power of our beautiful, diverse South Africa in the hands of the same bunch of people, irrespective of who they are. This is the beginning of a new journey. Let's make it work. But we can't work by ministers. It can't work by ministers jumping on stages and appearing as movie heroes, actors, and there are some systemic conversations that we need to have to ensure that nobody ever gets into this system and do to South Africa what the ANC did over the past 30 years. And nobody's talking about those things. That was.
Do you think the GNU is a way towards that?
Well, the fact that they've taken the ANC apart from the ANC. It's a good thing. I mean, the South Africans have dictated to it through their voting, right? That the ANC should not have as much power as it had before. Now, there are other voices in there. What worries me is what kind of deals have been signed. I mean, Palapala, suddenly the DA, for instance, which was going on about Palapala correctly, so decided, no, we're not going to do that anymore. So I think it's important. And I also supported Action SA saying we're going to stand out so that we can be the chihuahua. What I'm saying? Look at these guys inside and ensure that they don't make deals that are not in the best interest of South Africa and South Africans. So I think the GNU, as a start, is better than one-party dominance, but it must be consolidated through systems that ensures that we have an entrenched multi-partism governing our diverse country forever. Because we are diverse country. You can't have one group of people saying, we own it, you shut up. The majority is not always right.
I'm curious, how did it happen that you were actually asked to join Action SA? And what was your thinking process behind choosing them as your first foray into politics? Because, you know, we don't know as citizens, and you were one of us before, how these things happen. And we all are a little suspicious of politicians. So when we see that someone's been recruited, we go, how did that happen? Explain the process to us. Who approached who?
Look, I'm still one of you. Don't tell me I'm not one of you. Look, I was part of TUSAM, the United South African Movement. I continue to be a member of TUSAM. And we canvassed a lot of people as TUSAM. And everybody said, we love you, we love what you're doing, provided you do not become a political party. You know how Rise Mzansi started, for instance. Even Herman Machar, Rise Mzansi, they created some kind of civil society movement. My money did the same thing, that became BOS. It was that something, you know, I don't remember the name of it. And people said, we don't want you to become that. We want to remain a... So when I have been talking to political leaders way before Moonshot was began, MPC was began. You can go to the records. Behind the scenes, as TUSAM, I've been saying, you guys, none of you on your own will be the answer. You need to work together. And I can tell you this, Herman Mashaba was the one who was the most resistant to the idea of working with others. When I first started talking to him, he was like, no, we don't need that. We're going to do it on our own. I was surprised several months later that he became part of this Moonshot. Obviously, the Moonshot was badly positioned as a DA project. And then they started again, they regrouped under the MPC. So I had been talking to the DA, to Mashaba, to Holomisa. I spoke to the IFP gentleman. I spoke to FF Plus. All these parties that I considered to be the good guys, if you want. Okay, not EFF, not ANC. I haven't spoken to those. I've been saying to them, and I've been to their meetings digitally, to say, you guys need to work together. You need to work. You come up with one project to defeat the ANC. Actually, I use the expression, you need to gang up against the ANC. Okay, so Herman and I, Herman, my money, always took my calls. So I listened to him, and I was very happy with his very strong stance against the ANC. Okay, so when he called me to say, hey, sorry, and actually, let me tell you this. I wonder in a conversation with him, and long ago, I said, you know, you guys need to present a cabinet, a future cabinet. Don't be a one-issue party, you know. And he came up with this Team Fix South Africa, I think, almost a year later, right? I spoke to him, and when he invited me, I couldn't say, no. You know, I mean, for me, this was key. This is important for South Africa. So I said, yes. Mm-hmm. So he invited me. I didn't ask any politician to invite me. Now, of all the people who've taken my calls, who've always been spoken to me, he's the one who called me and said, sorry, come in. We need you to come in to be part of this electoral process. And I said, okay.
So being on the inside then, which is slightly different from kind of as a political commentator, which is what you are and very well known for, those outspoken views, being on the inside also gives you a vastly different perspective of some of the horse trading that has to happen. That is just the nature of politics, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm not on the inside anymore. Okay, so go ahead.
No, but you do have to find a way to push your ideas and push the projects that you want to the fore. And sometimes you have to give a little, right? And we're watching now, Herman Mashaba, who for the longest time said, I will never work with the ANC. I don't want to be part of a coalition with the ANC. Mm-hmm. And yet, Gareth lives in Pretoria, Tshwane. We're seeing now, playing out on the stages, what's happening on a very small scale in Tshwane, also in Ekurhuleni, you know, two of the six major metros, where Action SA is actually kind of suddenly changing their tune. And what do you make of that? And how do you feel, considering that you said, I like what these guys are saying, and now watching what they are doing?
Yeah, it's a good, difficult question. But I have to say this. Look, I was not in the Senate, that is the decision and strategy making body of Action SA, unfortunately. I was just invited to be a member of the Team Fix South Africa, holding, you know, responsible for the foreign policy portfolio. But I was never, and this is maybe something I should have thought of, I didn't, there's a group of people called senators, those are the bosses, if you want. And I would have wanted to be in that room. I would have wanted to be there so that I can influence, I can put stuff on the table, I can either oppose or not oppose things. So when you're sitting outside, as I was, it's really hard. To your point, Pumi, there are things you don't support, for instance, that you're not comfortable with, but you also don't want to create a storm in social media. I've always been very careful because people are watching me, what I say and all that sort of thing. So I didn't want to create a conversation that says, but this dude is with the actions, the SAA, but he's always opposing there. What's going on here? I mean, for instance, during the elections, I can talk about this, when some people of Action SA in Durban started pushing for the Durban International Airport to be changed into Mangosuthu, I said, that's bullshit. Sorry, I said, it's nonsense. Okay, and I'm happy that I was never at any point asked to support that sort of thing. Because I don't think Mangosuthu Buthelezi was a good guy for South Africa. I will never support Mangosuthu Buthelezi. Anybody who tries to clean up his image, I will never support it. So who are these people saying this name in an airport after Mangosuthu Buthelezi? I was really upset by that. But I kept quiet because I said, hey, sorry, you can't have everything, your cake and eat it. You're here on a project on a specific. Now, fast forward, after the elections, I'm back in Switzerland. I'll be back in South Africa soon, but I'm currently in Switzerland. I see what's going on with Pretoria. It's really hard for me to comprehend why the thinking behind it. And I know I can see I'm following Mida. I know that it's hurting Mashaba. It's hurting Action SA. And it's understandable. I think always political parties make decisions. They must properly convert and explain the positions. If people love you, support you for one thing, and you suddenly turn around, it's going to create a difficulty with you holding on to those people, and you know, especially the image that they can trust you. So I think there's a lot of work that must be done by Action and saying a lot more to explain the rationale for the decision.
I got into such an argument with a mutual friend of mine and Herman Mashaba's, funnily enough. And they said to me, oh, you know, how can you attack Herman? Because what I said was, I'm so glad I didn't vote for Action SA, which is true.
Right.
You know? And when I saw how they betrayed Tswane, which is the city I live in, which I have to deal with the detritus and rubbish and nonsense that flows down as a result of these terrible decisions, which are really about, you know, self-preservation for the people in the council here. The precise reason that we do not elect people is so that they can look after their own interests.
Right.
And I was very disappointed, and I still have to have it out with Herman. I'm not going to hold you responsible as his proxy today, but I thought your answer is diplomatic, which I expected from you because you're so smart. But I still am glad Pumi brought it up because I'm a little bit furious with Action SA, and I will have nothing to do with them if they carry on doing stuff like this.
Well, look, here's another thing. Okay, you go, Solly.
Look, one has to also not forget that for many months, long before the elections, during the elections, Herman Mashaba, the Action SA party, has always complained about the behavior of the DA, even while they were in the MPC together. And it's true that the DA, whether people believe Mashaba or not, it's true that the DA has, on a number of occasions, said something. Okay, I'm saying it's true. I was not in those meetings, but you know, it's been in the media. They would apparently make certain undertakings in group meetings, but they would go out there and do something else. On one particular point, whether the DA was speaking to the ANC about a possible association long before the elections or not, the DA has always said, no, we're not doing it. But all evidence showed that the DA was. And Mashaba, given his history, and I think Beaumont, given their history with the DA, they understood. To them, it was like, you know, this is the abusive partner we left, and you're asking us to sign a deal with this. You can't trust this abuse. So there's also that element as well that one has to put into perspective.
Yeah, but Sully, I mean, that's absolutely right, and I'm glad that you brought it up. But honestly, to most of us, it just looks like you've got this party of disenchanted, angry XDA people in the names of the two that you just mentioned, who are just about like thwarting the DA's plans. That's what they look like. They look like they are resentful and childish, and that they will oppose the DA at all costs, even if it means ruining a coalition which so far seems to be delivering for the people in this metro.
Yeah. You know, I feel like it's up to HNSA leaders. I said I'm not in the leadership in the Senate of the party. It's a party I came out and supported, and I'm paying the price for it because people are still calling me a politician. Okay, I don't have any regrets. I have no regrets. I've learned some things. It was quite amazing to be part of an electoral in the election process. But I really think, as a communication specialist, I think that it's up to the leaders of the of this party to really explain their right now. People are seeing this as disgruntlement, personal disgruntlement by Mahatma Shara and Bowman. I think they need to do a better job of explaining to the people of Tswana. I see the comments on social media. People say, but this government is working. Why are you doing this? So if you really want to act for the people and you want stability, you want a government that delivers, sometimes maybe you have to also accept that you can't have everything the way, your way, let it work for South Africa. But this is Solly Moeng speaking. I think it's up to them to look at the bigger picture and hopefully respond for South Africa, for the residents of Tswana.
Absolutely. You know, Solly, and drawing on your experience as a comms person, as a brand person, I'm very interested to know what you think the brand GNU versus the various small brands within the GNU. And as we see lots of ministers, you can see them, particularly on social media, trying to outperform each other, you know, so everybody's kind of waving their own flag of what they're doing. How those brands are going to be able to live next to each other and what that looks like going into the next election cycle, because in 2 years' time, we're going to be local general election.
Right.
How do you think those two brands are going to live with each other, and what in the mind of the electorate does it show, do, if anything, does it make a difference?
Yeah, okay. First of all, I support and I will always support the idea of a multi-party governance for the Republic of South Africa. We just have to find the best way to do it. This system, we should never go back to one-party leadership, irrespective of who that party is. I think that all of these politicians in the GNU have one eye on the next local government election. Some of them are not even afraid to say it. So they're like, hey, what am I going to do that's going to make me stand apart from the rest so that people can vote for me for my party again? I haven't seen a one cohesive government strategy, but we also know we've seen Balula can't shut up, right? He's made it clear that the ANC is still in control. It controls all the key portfolios, and the ANC basically is using these other guys. This is my perspective. It's using all these other guys to look good, to make, hopefully some of them will succeed where it failed, and then it go to the people of South Africa and say, you see, we've done the jobs, so come back to us. This is what the ANC is trying to do. So they're all going to continue trying, outsmarting each other. But they're going to have to find a way to say, let's look at systemic things. I've mentioned many things before. For instance, we have, as you go into the multi-party era in South Africa, for a long time to come, I think, we need to look at the powers invested in the presidency, too much power in that office. They should be reduced. We should look at, if you think about it, Judge Zondo, when he was heading the commission, he didn't think that the writers of the Constitution of South Africa, the 2006 Constitution, did not think that one day there would be a thing called the Zondo Commission, whose report would have to be handed over to whoever is president. But whoever is president is part of the problem. He leads the pegs that hurt us. So that's why we keep asking, where is it? What are they really doing? They're not going after the big guys, right? Tulima Donsela was right, but she would have failed the constitutional master, but she was correct in saying to Zuma, you are not the one who's going to determine the terms of reference for this under commission because we're the problem guy, right? And that's why she insisted that a judge, somebody else, the Chief Justice at the time, should determine the terms of reference for that. That was very smart of her, but she knows that legally she would not have passed it. So something has to be changed there. We can't have so much power in the presidency. We can't have the SIU needing to go to the presidency to get some kind of proclamation when they suspect crime. They must be so independent. The police must be independent. The criminal justice system must be independent. The NPA must be independent from political influence. We are not there. Nobody's talking about this. It's all about doing things that seem exciting for Twitter or social media. That's nonsense. They need to say, what have we put in place since 1994 that seemed to be strong enough to protect the democracy, that has proven over time to be vulnerable to abuse. Because one day, more people will emerge. If the ANC wins again, if people get fooled by the ANC and it takes more power, the ANC is not sorry. They haven't said us for all the stuff we do. They're going to go back and say, aha, you see, people love us. Let's continue what we've done. And that is my biggest fear.
Certainly, you know, I mean, there's so many things in what you've said. I think we have extremely strong Chapter 9 institutions in South Africa. I think that we do have instruments in our constitution and in various parts of the legislation to be able to do all of the things that we need. But what it requires is it requires A, for the politicians not to collude with each other as they are doing with the GNU. But it also requires that the people sitting in the opposition benches do their work. And what that means is it means absolutely holding the feet to the fire of the various individuals who have been tasked with all of the work that they need to do. So those KPIs, the KPIs that they have, that's what the portfolio committees are there for. You know, so when you see a portfolio committee coming together to ask the various ministers, the various departments, the various individuals who are sitting in positions to account, that is what the job is. And when they collude with each other, as we are seeing happen. I mean, I am not a fan of the GNU. I am not a fan of the GNU because I think that it has given Cyril Ramaphosa a pass to get away with the things that he's gotten away with. He's one of the worst presidents we've ever had. And the GNU has simply given him a pass instead of holding each other tightly accountable. They're now saying, oh, okay, we're going to work together here as long as I've got this. As long as I've got this portfolio, as long as I can get my little piece of the pie, and I'm going to try and whatever with that piece of the pie, you know. So, unfortunately, I think the work that should be done is not being done.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And look, these are early days. I still think that I'm not too married to the term GNU. I think multi-party governance of sort is important for South Africa. We're a very diverse country. We need diversity at the seat where decisions are made for the governance of South Africa to protect all sorts of rights.
Proportional representation is about.
But you can't keep doing things the same way over and over again and expect different outcomes. Right now, our democratic health relies on the good health and the goodwill of men and women in the presidency in power. As we say, Ramaphosa could do so many things. He should read what people are saying and listen, but it's not. Zuma could come in there and do whatever he wanted. Kevin Mutswaneng at SABC could do what. So we need to go back and say, how did people manage to undermine all these amazing institutions, Chapter 9 and others that we put in place? How do you make sure that nobody else comes in there and goes rogue on us? For me, you seem to be unwilling to have that conversation. We can't just say we have the institutions, hello, let's go and party, let's just make sure the right people are there. Let's make sure that the institutions are structured in a way that nobody can undermine them again. And this would happen again if we begin.
The institution is structured right, but when you have rogue individuals, when you have people inside the institutions, why I will commend a person like you, Solly, who is willing to take on the mantle to say, I'm going to join a particular party and I'm going to stand. I'm going to put my hand up and I'm going to stand to use my skills, use my knowledge, use my experience. That is the difference. Where we sit right now, you know, and I want us to also talk about what it looks like now that the opposition party is a Jacob Zuma party and the various individuals that we see them putting up. Those very individuals who were part of breaking down the system, right? When you suddenly have a Lucky Montana being touted as a person who is, you know, one of the most qualified Hana to sit out there. And 3 days ago, we see a person that he appointed who fraudulently said that he was has an engineering PhD and therefore went and procured trains that were not the correct train system for our platforms here in South Africa, right? And this is the person we now have sitting in parliament, sitting in the opposition benches. That's where our problem is.
Yeah, but the thing is, too many people get away with stuff on technicalities in South Africa. People say, as long as it's not quite illegal, we can do it. Those people should not be, ethically, those people should not be in the Minister of Justice should not be in that position, given the implications of that position, especially in regard to where South Africa comes from. She should be, Ramaphosa, as you say, is a weak schmuck. I'm sorry for too quick, but he is. You should have kicked that lady out. You should have told her, get out of here. The same way that he should have said to Mkhize, the dude who was Minister of Finance during, of Health during the COVID, they all going after these small guys. Okay, they should have gone after the dude and told him he should be in jail right now. All of these guys should not be in there. Okay, no, people are getting away because the system allows them to get away with these things. And this is what really, really, really touches my bones. Okay. And the other thing is South Africans. We South Africans. Fools. We need to stop treating politicians as heroes and heroines. They come, people who steal from us, they come into the room, people, yeah, they start dancing with them, hugging them. Zuma Ireshmaki should be in jail. All of these guys, all these guys that MK has just put in there, they all are at the root of where South Africa is at. We praise them. Sometimes we praise them because they're black like us. You know, when a white person criticizes them, no, you racist, he's our man, he's a woman. These guys should be. We, the people of South Africa, must learn, must inform ourselves. We must be clear about what kind of country we live. We cannot allow the weaponization of colonial and apartheid history to determine the actions we take today, even if those, when those actions are bad for the country we should be building for every child of South Africa. BEE must go. Okay. Now, because we praise politicians, this dude, the Minister of Transport, of Sports, what's his name? Mackenzie. This guy could become president, okay? And he could be worse than Paul Kagame. That's why I'm saying we need to temper the powers in the presidency so that nobody comes in there with amazing charisma, but who's going to add the kind of democracy that we must be. The systems must be the ones that tame individuals, no matter how. I could come in there and, oh, we're like, sorry, let him come in. He could be president. I see all this power. I can press this button. I can press that. And boom. The next thing I go rogue on you. What are you going to do about it? The system will allow me as president to do whatever I want. You should never allow that. You should never allow a system that is so vulnerable to humans. Humans are infallible, are fallible rather. Okay. So it's very important that we start conversation on systems and ensure that they protect us from a possible future President Bigetti McKenzie.
Agreed. I don't disagree. Like populism, and we see this happening all over the world, it can be very, very dangerous thing. Yeah. But it is also, it's also the antidote to what we've seen, which is a huge disappointment in democracy. Like most of the countries in the world that have been the paragons of safe, secure elections, vox populi, the people go out and vote in numbers. Those are the very countries now that are also dealing with populism. It's not just an African or South African thing. And so, they also don't know what to do about it. Look, you're in Europe, and Europe is in massive trouble at the moment.
Well, I'm interested in, it's not politically part of Europe. And I never thought to, this is important. I have been, but it's true. It's not part of the EU, okay? And I have been actively studying the political system in this country. I admire it. I don't quote it in my writing because people are going, white monopoly capital, this colonialism, this. But the fact of the matter is, here in Switzerland, the people, not the politicians, hold the power. The people can demand a referendum on anything. And if it passes, the law changes, or the people can, there's a wonderful right to initiative. You as a citizen can say, hey, we need a law on X, Y, or Z. And then there's a system where you collect a certain number of signatures from registered voters, not anybody, registered voters. If they agree with you, there's a vote. If the vote carries, you win, the law changes, or the new law is introduced. That is amazing. And the president in Switzerland is president for 12 months, okay? There's an integrated, entrenched multi-party system. We have a federal council, which is made of different parties. Every year, that federal council chooses a president, and the president speaks more like the chairman of a board. He's not like, now we're going to go to war it there. Over there. They don't have the power. They represent the collective, and I promise you, I listen to them. When they speak for the collective, not for a political party. They don't have the power. And the minute, actually, you being a president is not your real job. It's symbolic. You go to the UN, you receive heads of state, you speak to the nation, you hold the nation together. But you could also be a minister of health at the same time. So that's your real job. That's what you're supposed to deal with, because the presidency is not an everyday job. So I would like to have a system in South Africa, because we're such a diverse country. And the system here is done because it's a small country, of course, but it's done, and I've read books on how the political system works here. They say we want to make sure that even the minorities of minorities have a voice at the table, and that's how it's entrenched, so that we don't have people saying, we are dominant, we are the majority, therefore you listen to us. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. You can't have a world which is driven by the winners take all, zero-sum games. Because when you're on top one day, it's just a matter of time that you're going to be below, and it's going to help you see karma as a bitch.
So the will of the people, as per our election a couple of months ago, the will of the people is that Jacob Zuma and his band of friends have come back as the third biggest party representation in parliament. This is the will of the people. This is democracy. Yes. This is the will of the people who showed up.
Yes.
And here we sit now with an opposition party that is constituted the way that it is. There have been quite a number of shifts happening in the MK over the past couple of weeks. And one of the biggest ones being the what they see as a coup of having stolen away Floyd Shivambu to be their national organizer. What do you make of these machinations in who is holding what sway in our parliament?
You know, you said the will of the people a few times. You know,
the will of the people who showed up to vote.
I get that. The point is, when you have the will of a people who don't, either they refuse to read or they're unable to read the facts before them. Jacob Zuma and the African National Congress under Jacob Zuma hurt South Africa big time. All those guys that they have just brought into the National Assembly hurt South Africa. They were enablers to what happened to this country. Now, when you have the people voting, seeing people are saying, when is the Uzuma? What is the Uzuma done? Now, that is where my pain lies. Okay? People, lack of education, it's not about preference. The thing is, if you know things and you understand how society works, you don't vote for people like that. You don't. You really don't vote for people like that. Okay? Those people are bad for South Africa. And if you love South Africa, you don't support that. But this is the reality we're sitting on. I totally embrace it. This is the reality we're sitting on. People keep saying that MK doesn't really have structure. Maybe Floyd Shivambu is an intellectual. He's going to be there much, the guy who did the policies for the ANC, or the kind of guy, I forget his name. He's going to come in there and bring some order in there. Well, let's wait and see. And let's wait and see how all these other guys are going to come. Because, I mean, look, they are anti-constitutionalists. They've made it very clear. It's filled with so much contradiction. The MK party says the constitution of the Republic of South Africa, the rule of law, should go. They say the Roman Dutch laws is good for the Romans and for the Dutch, not for the Africans. They're pushing for the return of an idealized pre-colonial Africa where everybody loved everybody and the chiefs walked around in whatever they were wearing, telling people what to do, what not to do. They want us to go back to that world. It's BS. Okay, it's absolute BS.
There was never such a world.
We're sitting there in our National Assembly. Zuma has been saying using the same laws of the Dutch. And the fact of the matter is, the South African law, common law, has been indigenized in all respects. Okay, it might have come from we live in a world where scientific experience, all the cars we drive, the houses, a lot of the stuff students learn, math, or whatever. Ideas are generated all over the world. They get indigenized. Now I'm putting the black Zuma in. I mean, this is bad. Indigenized to suit the local environment. Okay, so these people who are still having conversations about trying to get South Africa to go away and who still regard our white citizens as foreigners who don't belong to South Africa, they don't belong to 2024. They shouldn't be there. They are there because the people, Ford, Everett, and Ike, I still can't explain, decided we need those people there. Those people don't belong there. They belong in jail. Most of them belong in jail. Zuma has still not been charged for state capture. He hasn't. He's been charged for all these other things where the arms dealings. I don't know where he gets the money to keep, you know, going after Downer, pushing down the ball, and maybe he's waiting to die. And thinking, you know, this dude, where does he get the money to fight all this? How much does he pay Dalim Perl? Maybe that's not my business. The point is that these guys do not respect the law, the rule of law. They do not respect who we are as South Africans. They don't. They have their own imagined South Africa that I don't know where they get from. And that is never going to be realized. There's going to be chaos. There will be war if they get their way, and they won't get their way. Okay, we need to move away from this thinking that some South Africans belong more than others. Others belong there, others are foreigners or settlers. We need to move away from that nonsense and build a country. The wealth of South Africa is in all of the people of South Africa working together. We should punish people on the basis of what they do, what they say, if it's against the law, not on what they look like or who their father might have been. It's absolute nonsense.
Which brings us to the terrible infant of South African politics, Julius Malema and his EFF. We're months away from their third NPA, right? Their People's Assembly, their National People's Assembly. And Julius Malema has lost quite a lot of ground. Yeah. He's lost his best friend in the form of Floyd Chibambo, and is looking very muted every time we've seen him in these debates at the National Assembly, is looking very muted and hasn't been his usual fiery self.
Yeah.
What do you see in the future? Depressed. What do you see?
He's depressed. You need a psychologist.
Do you think he's depressed?
I think he's depressed. Look, Malema knows that Chibambo, they were the best of friends for a long time. Everybody knows the BFFs forever, kind of. And they know each other's secrets. So I'm sure he's hoping that no matter how angry he gets, and he won't attack him in public, you know, strongly, and they won't attack each other because they know that they'll trigger the other one to say, okay, fine, I'm going to put it out there. You know what I'm saying? A VBS has still not struck. I don't know what Patohi and her people are waiting for. They should investigate crime irrespective of. I like Action SA's, you know, initiative now to say, let's look at who funded the ANC, who funded EFF. Let's look at who funded everybody else. We know that Ramaphosa signed a law just before the elections to create a legal lacuna, right? So that party funding can come in without people being able to account for where it comes from or who gave money to whom. That's wrong. Right. That's why you need to move away from so much power in the presidency. It's abused. The intelligence system in South Africa reports into the presidency. It shouldn't. Now suddenly the powerful political clique gets to know who's doing what, and they can embarrass you, they can make threats, they can blackmail you. So we're back to Malema. I think Malema is weakened here at this moment. Let me tell you this. I voted for Malema for the EFF when they were doing the payback the money. I voted for them once because I thought this is what we want here. And I like the way they made Zuma feel uncomfortable. But I will never vote for them again, for the EFF. I never voted for them again because I think they are not good for the kind of South Africa that we should be building. Malema, for me, it comes up as a child with seriously unresolved childhood issues. Okay? Those childhood issues will not be sorted out in politics. He needs to get help somewhere else. His temperament, he doesn't have the temperament for it. Lead a country as diverse, as beautiful as South Africa. He's still a child emotionally. He doesn't have that mission emotional maturity. So I hope that he realizes that his days of glory are gone, or slowly the sun is setting. He must move on. And people like that. South Africa, nobody must be more important than South Africa. Nobody, no party must ever be more important than South Africa. We should be clear about that.
He's only 45. I don't know if the sun is setting for you. Imagine that.
People have come and gone.
The sun setting for you already. That's a child in politics.
Well. Let's see where you go. The things, my view is that South Africa is a diverse country. You can't govern a country like South Africa from either the extreme right, or the extreme left. Okay, you need to gather most South Africans in the middle. Okay, you need to be able to speak to the Afrikaners, to the Zulus, to the Xhosas, to the Sotus, to the Indians, to the Kalahs, and they must feel this is our president. If you can't be that kind of man or woman, you can't lead South Africa. And Malema can never be that kind of a person. As I say, he's got these unresolved childhood issues. Until he deals with them, he can't lead a country.
Let's crowdfund. Maybe there's a psychologist out there. Let's crowdfund therapy sessions for Julius Malema. Although I do personally believe that South Africans, all of us as a whole, we've got like serious PTSD and we all need some kind of therapy. We all need some kind of group therapy and individual therapy to deal with some of the serious backlash that we've got in this country.
Yeah.
Speaking of needing therapy and the backlash, yesterday, once again, Thabo Mbeki is not going. He's not going quietly into the good night. He is not. He's not sitting at home enjoying his whiskey and pipe in his long retirement. In comments that he made at a student engagement that he had at the UNISA School of Leadership, I think, he was talking about our society, South African society, and the violent society that we have become, and the need to recalibrate how we engage each other and maybe begin to deal with some of these social issues. And I want to know a little bit more about, you said TUSAM, I didn't know that that's how you say it, your United South Africa movement.
Yes. Google it, www.tusam.co.za. We created a charter. We said the last time people of South Africa created a charter, the people, was in 1955, that gathering that culminated in the creation of the Freedom Charter, some of which clauses inform the current constitution of the Republic. We said it's time we, the people, we canvassed a lot of people across the board. We come up with a charter. Going onto the website, you'll see there, but it's a tandem charter. We're saying it shouldn't be just about what the people demand. It should be with the obligations. There are things, when your brother or your sister or your father comes home with a flat screen TV and you know they don't have money to afford it, or a bicycle stolen somewhere, why don't you go to the police to report it? Okay, we are part of the problem. When you see somebody removing a street light, you think he's just taking a video and running and to shade on Facebook. So we've got obligations. Do you throw papers in the street as you walk around, or out of your car, or cans and Simba chips packages, etc.? So we need to not only demand what kind of changes we want, make the demands on the kind of changes we want in the politics, but we should also look at ourselves, all of us South Africans, and play a part. So the civil society of South Africa needs to take responsibility for something. It can't just be making the demands all the time. Mbeki, you say something today. He's trying to be everything to everybody. That's a problem. You know, he pretends to be like, it's like Kosatu or the undertripartite partner, the communists. They pretend to be angry at the ANC, and then the next thing they say, we must vote for the ANC. There are names I will not mention here out of respect. Of people keep saying, this one must be the president. That person or two of them would, in private conversation, they think the ANC must stay. Okay,
I need to hear these names.
I won't mention their names.
And shame, Sonny. Come on, name and shame. Don't be scared. You're amongst friends. It's just between us.
Don't be in trouble. Now, I'm disappointing them because I'm still recovering from her. How can she say that? She doesn't. She think there'll be chaos. The ANC goes away. People think, you could be the right president of South Africa. No. So that put me off that person. I won't say their name. It's it's a lady. And I'm going to keep it there. But I think Thabo Mbeki forgets, and people forget. And this is the thing with all these older ANC people who were part of the problem, and they come back in their gray hair and gray beards, and they pretend to be sages who know the answers for our troubled republic. Mbeki was the first post-apartheid president to defy the rule of law when he suspended, at the time, a respected national director of public prosecutions, was Victor Pikoli. Pikoli was going to arrest a captured minister, police commissioner, Jackie Slabe, who was in Mbeki's body. He didn't have legally, Pikoli, he didn't have the obligation to tell the president, but out of courtesy to the president, through at the time, Mabandla, who was the Minister of Justice at the time, he informed the president that your friend is in trouble. This is what he's doing. This is evidence. We're going to arrest him. The president said, no, wait a bit. I'll talk to him. Over time, the president didn't talk to me. And on one evening, Bikoli said, I can't. Mr. President, this guy, I just want you to know, he's going to be arrested tomorrow. Boom, the president kicked him out. Now, while he suspended him, right, from his job so that he doesn't get to arrest Bikoli, while he was suspended, Mbeki himself was removed by his party. And then Mutante came as the forerunner for the Zuma party, you know. They came to Bikoli, knocked on his door, and said, hey, dude, listen, we are the good guys. We're happy to suspend, to remove your suspension, put you back in a position. Despite the Flint Ginwala commission having said, no, Bikoli is a good guy. He's fit for purpose. He must go back to his position. And Mbeki was unreasonable to remove him. Mutlanda said, look, we will take you back into your position, provided you don't touch the old man, meaning Zuma, who's coming, running away from the arm of the law already. Bikoli said, no, I can't. My requirement, my mandate requires that I act without fear, favor, and prejudice. Then Mutlanda removed him. So basically, Mbeki took Bikoli, a good guy, threw him under a Zuma bus that was coming down the road very fast, with Mutlante at the wheel, and it crushed him. It crushed his career. And there have been many others. Mutlante is the one who oversaw the undoing of the Scorpios. He was, yeah, we want the Scorpios, we want the pieces. He's a dude who did ensure we don't have the Scorpios. He's never apologized for that. Mbeki, all these guys, they pretend to be, yeah, oh, we have the answers. To talk slowly with their beards. And But they don't have the answers. They're the cause of the mess that you're in. They've never apologized. Apologize first. The same way that black people want white people to apologize for apartheid, ANC leaders must apologize. The ANC must kneel down and face South Africans and say, we're sorry. And having done that, listen to Mbalula speak. They're as arrogant as ever. They still do. What was Kusela Diko, who was blemished when she was in the presidency? She's now heading a portfolio committee of parliament. Okay? So this, she changed her name now. She's gone back to her maiden name so that if you Google her, you don't find what she did before. This is a problem we have in South Africa. We take people who are not good for South Africa. We say, don't worry, just chill a little bit. And then we'll quietly put you somewhere else. Okay, maybe some of them are ambassadors and senior diplomats of our Republic of South Africa, thanks to the African National Congress, irrespective of what they've done to this country. It's nonsense. The ANC must go.
Sorry, manje sibathini bonke labantu. Seriously, no. I love it. I hear your anger, and I love the fact that you're thinking about it on big political terms, but also in a small way with each individual and what we each could be doing better, right? But here we are. We are sitting with a recyclement, really, of all the old faces, all the old people. They've been recycled and they're sitting in all these portfolios, and we have got them for another 5 years.
Right.
We're at the beginning of having them for another 5 years.
Right.
In your view, what are the eating this elephant? What are the things that, and I love you talking about civil society, but what are the things that each and every single one of us can be doing more of on a day-to-day basis, on a quarterly, monthly, quarterly, to begin to chip away at some of these big problems that you speak of?
Yeah, I love that question. As I said, you know, we've created a tandem charter. The second part of the charter speaks to that question, and I would like people to read it. It says, what do I want to give to South Africa instead of continuously saying, what must South Africa give to me? It's not, I'm not a smart guy who comes with this. It's an old thing. It makes sense. So in my own home, when I'm in South Africa, in Wynberg, Cape Town, I see people dumping, throwing papers to school kids and adults. And I go to them, I don't fight with them. I said, but do you want to live in a country like this? Surely you can keep that piece of paper and find a bin somewhere, all right? It's a simple thing. So far, nobody has thrown, you know, punched me because I don't fight with them. So we need to ask ourselves, what do I do when my brother, my son, I like what Chico Twala did, okay, with his boys. Okay, they stole from him, they didn't steal from others. But we need, and if my own brother were to kill somebody to steal, I will go after them. I've been invited to participate in tenders where I thought, no, this one here is going to end up with me in on the front page of the Daily Maverick for all the reasons. I said, no, I can't do that. I need the money, but I'm not going to do that. Okay. So we, each one of us, must take responsibility. Is my action good for South Africa or not? If it's not good for South Africa, for the country, for national unity and national harmony, then it's not. And we must stop generalizing. We must stop saying, when Pumi does this, all black women do this. When Gareth does this, all white men do this. It's nonsense. I mean, I can't claim to speak for all black men. There are black men who speak and I want to hide under the table. I'm like, no, lady. I'm not black like you. You know what I'm saying? So we are individuals who make up this beautiful Republic of South Africa, and we should protect it for the sake of ourselves, and for the sake of those who are going to live in this country, in a country in the future. For now, it's about take as much as you can, you know, while there's still something. And for that, we need institutions that work, that punish people. I still think that South Africans must not forgive until Zuma and all those guys is just brought into the National Assembly, who still have to answer, are brought to in front of a criminal justice system that acts not for party, but for the Republic. And if those who are innocent should be let go, those who are not innocent should go to jail. Until we get there, South Africans must not sleep with both eyes at night.
Fighting words. I mean, I just love I love so much of what you've been saying, Solly, that I haven't even interrupted, which is very difficult for me, as you know. I think that there are so many South Africans who are just looking for. They're looking for hope. They're looking for leaders who do what they say, who won't promise us all the things that we want to hear, but will deliver at least a few of the things that they themselves have put on the agenda. And also that they'll put aside all their squabbling and stupidity and realize that their true purpose is to serve the people of this country who've been roundly abused by politicians over the last couple of years. We're just sick of it. I'm feeling very optimistic too, and I know Pumi's not a fan of the GNU, and I can't say I'm a fan, but I am more positive this year than I've been for a very long time, because I feel like the wheels of the economy have been put back on, and that's not because of the GNU. I think that there are you know, external factors that are also at play here. But South Africa is just waiting. We're sitting on the precipice of something really good. If we can just get our shit together, and it's all down to the politicians, it's not the people of this country. They've done nothing wrong. Then we will be ready to grow, to see things improve. The quality of life for people in rural areas and urban areas, people who are unemployed, will start to improve once the economy starts to improve.
Yeah. But they you know, the economy will not improve while, you know, we should keep listening to Richard Quest's rant against South Africa at the World Economic Forum a number of years ago.
I remember that, too.
Yeah, we haven't listened.
When he says we were trying to strangle him with the scarf.
We need to keep going to the interview. South Africans and those who are given the power of political office or government office anyway should look at themselves and say, you know what? Thank you. I'm so happy to be given an opportunity to help this train, which is South Africa, move away as further as possible from the pain of the past into a future that will promise glory, harmony, success, and all that. But we can't do it on just political, social media grandstanding. The work that needs to be done must be changing the system, strengthening the systems, and going and ensuring that we're not a country of arrogance and of and impunity where people get away with stuff because they know so and so. Nobody and no political party must ever be allowed to be more important than a country. When Ramaphosa said, and he was wearing not ANC regalia, but a suit as president of the Republic and a commander of arms of our joint armed forces, he was standing next to the flag. When he said, I would rather be seen as a weak president than see the ANC fall, I wanted to hold him by the neck and just shake him. I would have done it. I was mad. I was so mad. It's a problem that in the current system, the president of the Republic is a deployee of a political party. It's a problem. Because every day that person must think, hey, the party is going to kick me out if I do so, I can't go too far. So he has to, or she has to think, am I going to stand for the Republic irrespective or for the party? So we need to change the system where the party, the people decide. Somehow we need to think of a South Africa, or a system that will work for South Africa, where when you are president, you're president for all of us, not of a party. So far, people failed that position.
Well, Sully, it's always good to check in with you, and I wish you well in your non-political political role. You know, would that you perhaps had got into parliament. We may have all been cheering you on right now. I'm pretty sure that none of
I'd be struggling to hold hands, to shake hands with fellow MPs. Some of them would know.
I'm glad to hear that so many of your principles haven't shifted at all, despite the fact that people want to accept that when people enter politics, they lose all their principles. You did it. You tried it. You've dipped your toe in it. I don't know if you're going to go into it again. That's up to you. But I enjoy you on our show, and I love you being part of the Burning Platform. So thank you. And people can find out more by going to tusam.co.za, tusam.co.za. And you can find out all you need to know about that organization, which Sully is a founder of. Pums, we will see you next week.
Next week, baby.
Thank you very much, guys. I love you too. I love you to bits. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.